Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. It's me, David Reed. I am back after a brief time away, but I am not alone. Joining me is my number one, Mr. Marek Larwood. How are you doing, Marek?
Very well, David, and I'm just stroking Buddy, who's walked into the room.
Buddy,
just,
the podcast just dog, is back.
Say farewell.
This is our final episode of Film Fandango, for reasons we have made clear previously, I believe.
We hate films!
Joining us is Danielle Ward, creator of Film Fandango, Danielle
Mother
Ward.
Mother of Film Fandango.
Mother of Fandangas.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Danielle?
I'm alright. I might have to leave, because I have a small baby strapped to my front, like a suicide vest.
It's a bit like a suicide vest. And when that goes off, the smell is terrible.
Is it called a suicide baby vest?
It is not. No.
I wonder if they sell more or less.
Well, they sell papooses with sort of felt dynamites attached to them.
You'd have the holder for your bottles.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? And you could get sniped by the police.
Yeah.
That would be good.
I think, talking about the papoose that Danielle is sporting, is it called a papoose?
It's a baby sling, I think.
Why don't they have utility stuff in the belt? You can use like a phone, something to put your phone
should
in.
Should do, shouldn't they?
What emergency wet wipes is probably one of the big things.
You need a whole bag for that sort of stuff.
Batarangs, grappling hook.
Yeah.
Do you find that wet wipes are suddenly your number one on your shopping list?
It's muslins.
Muslins.
They're coming over here, cleaning up our babies.
Wiping their faces. We're going to talk about, our memories. We're going to reminisce like self-indulgent assholes for a bit. But this is about films, mostly. Thanks for keeping the podcast going in our absence, Marek. How have you been enjoying it?
It's all right. The freedom. I didn't realise how much work it was, to be honest with you.
It's quite a lot, isn't it?
I mean, you didn't last long, did you?
Well, I did about 3 months, but then the cinema was a bit too expensive. And then, and then it's a lot of meeting people.
Well, that's awful.
Running out of friends.
There'll always be Simon Fielder.
Good old Simon. And Simon Fielder's done a sterling job. I think he's been a guest about 3 or 4 times.
That's right. I think he's now overall our most recurring guest.
Well done, Simon Fielder. And people might not know that he's actually a fictional character.
That's right. It's a voice that Marek does.
Yeah.
You're just talking to yourself.
It's me talking to myself. I thought to save money.
Yeah.
I'll make up this character called Simon Fielder. Bit OCD sort of guy.
Yeah. A very believable name as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've not gone crazy.
Well,
with
I thought
the name.
Fielder. I thought, you know what? I've moved the E and the I around so it sounds different. And I'll make
because a fielder. I think it's quite a clever name because a fielder, like in cricket, it's just one of the masses, aren't they? Just sort of anonymous, normal bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made him quite positive and happy and chirpy to counteract my
That's
demeanour.
Good.
Everyone should create their own Simon Fielder.
And he's black, of course.
Yeah, he's black, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's black, but he had both his hands amputated and he's got replaced with one Indian man's hand and one Chinese man's hand.
Did that come up a lot in the podcast?
I didn't reference it until now. I was going to say
right.
So he's the ultimate man.
The ultimate, wow.
Global Fielder. What would your alter ego be?
Probably something quite different.
Imagine if you made me up.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe this is just a voice I've been doing for 6 years or however long it is.
And I've spawned my own characters.
You have?
Wow, magic.
It's like the film Split, if you've seen such a thing.
I haven't. I thought it was one of when he started, what's his name, started doing shit films.
James McAvoy. No,
Shyamalan or James McAvoy.
Well, both.
Yeah.
Both.
It's, what's their names?
It's a very disappointing film that has made you watch a superhero film without you knowing about it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's stealth, injecting you with the thing you hate the most.
You think it's going to be a normal film, but then it isn't.
Yeah, we've seen some good films since not doing this.
What have you seen?
Well, you'll have to tell us if you've talked about them on the show, because I've listened to a few, but I haven't kept up with it entirely.
Get bored.
I hate podcasts, so I haven't listened to any of them.
Dan hates the audio medium.
Yeah, I hate it.
We saw Riot in Cell Block 99.
I have not seen that.
The last film that I saw before giving birth, and then I nearly bled to death. It's almost like my body knew.
It's Vince Vaughn, who I don't usually like.
Ah, this is Simon my alter ego is Simon Fielder.
Yes.
I watched it when I was Simon Fielder.
Oh, yeah.
And I was unable to retain the information.
Right.
That's the thing. He's such a great creative personality that I can't...
It's almost like a mental illness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you can't recall... things you've done at
no him. I don't know what horrors I've done, probably quite a few.
From what I've heard about Simon Fielder, quite a few horrors.
But you know how awful Vince Vaughn is. He's great in this.
He's really good. He plays this sort of
brick shithouse,
but to a comedy point of view, where he gets things smacked over his head and he just barely reacts. And he is basically a father and a good guy now, but gets dragged back into a world of crime and sent to prison. And it slowly descends into a horror. Basically, the genre shifts into a horror as just he becomes the monster inside. And it's by the same guy who did Bone Tomahawk, which I've talked about before and absolutely love, that it starts as a Western and turns into a horror slowly. He's got a trick.
Is there anything as... horrific as the moment anyone who's seen Bone Tomahawk
is. Yeah, he tries to top Bone Tomahawk in this. It's not quite as horrific.
It's
but
not
it's,
quite as. I think
it's more comical. I think.
Yeah.
The acts of violence.
There are ideas. You know, there's this thing. What he's trying to do is save. His wife's pregnant, and they've got the abortionist who's going to go in and take all the baby's limbs off while he's in the womb.
Yeah, that's the big
what?
Thing. That's the threat over his head. Like, he's got this weird Japanese surgeon who's really odd and got these brand new techniques where he's going to amputate all of the baby's limbs but keep it alive whilst it's still in the womb if he doesn't do what they tell him to.
I mean, that's almost... that's so ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. But the film's quite ridiculous.
Is Vince Vaughn good, knowingly good, or is he good as in...
He's knowingly good.
He's good, yeah.
But he portrays almost no emotion, which is what he's very good at, because he's not a very good actor. Is that fair? I don't know. He's a limited actor.
Maybe he makes
I just think that... But when what was the first one he did? Was it not Clerks? Or what was the one he did with...
He did Swingers.
Swingers, that's it.
Another one with John Favreau.
I think I don't like him because he's done... Didn't he do that... Like, Kevin Smith. Who's the other guy that looks like Vince Vaughn? The fatter
John Favreau?
No, they're always on posters together.
Kevin Hart? No, that's the that guy.
The other guy, Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Oh, yeah, that... Fuck,
his name is Kevin, isn't it?
Yeah, Kevin something.
He was in that crappy TV series, and it's always whenever I watch American football, there's always adverts for that.
Yeah.
He's just talking, his wife just literally feeding his 1-9 jokes.
Kevin James.
Yeah. I think I hate Vince Vaughn because he's a bit like Kevin James.
Sort of, he's the all-American man.
And
he's who every American man wants to be.
Yeah, and he's in Wedding Crashers, which isn't
Yeah, he's in a lot of films with Owen Wilson, isn't he?
Yeah.
But anyway,
Owen
that was
Wilson's
quite good.
Weird penis nose.
Yeah.
I've seen him in Regent's Park a few times. Owen Wilson.
What does his nose look like in real life?
What does his penis look like in real life?
His penis looks like a nose.
Yeah,
but a really sweet little button nose, like a baby's nose.
Owen Wilson and his penis nose. What else have you seen then?
That was probably the best one I've seen.
It was really good.
It was really good.
It's incredibly violent.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, and.
Well, you have to start up your Grey's Anatomy podcast for that.
Yeah. I saw Valerian, City of a Thousand Planets.
And how weird is that?
It's not as weird as it wants to be. It's basically just CGI budget and no characters, and the story's a bit shit.
You watched it, didn't you?
I did. Well, you know, I've read some of the Valyrian comics. You know, they're French, so they're like sci-fi Asterix, basically. Mm. And I was a big Asterix fan as a kid, so I gave it a go. It's not really worth watching. I watched Breaks, which is an independent British film.
With about one couples. Of the great British Bake Off judges in it.
Has it?
What?
Oh, Noel Fielding, yeah.
Oh.
It's got Julia Davis, Noel Fielding, Julian Barrett. Kerry Fox is in it. Paul McGann is in it. Anyway, and it's basically like six couples. You see the day they split up, and then you see the day they got together. And that's it. That's the whole film, and it's sort of very sort of little portraits, almost like an art project, actually.
So they all end up splitting up at the end of it?
No, they split up at the beginning, and then you see them get together afterwards, because you see their relationship when they're sort of at the most toxic and don't work, and you sort of don't understand why they'd be together at all, and then you see the reason they got together in the first place.
So none of the couples are still together?
No.
Bit depressing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's quite a bleak
Valentine's Day.
It's quite a bleak film, but it was interesting enough. I gave it six Davids. I saw Jim and Andy, that documentary.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Yeah, what did you make of it?
I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, but probably not for the reasons Jim Carrey thinks it's incredible, right?
Why is it incredible?
Because Jim Carrey is a lunatic, like so self-involved, like the things he comes out with, like he met Andy Kaufman's children.
This is
In character, and genuinely believes that they got to say goodbye because they got to talk to him, Jim Carrey, in character.
Oh.
And it's like it's a portrait of a total narcissist.
No, I don't. I thought it was. I thought he had some incredible balls. It's behind the scenes. Have you heard about Jim Andy?
No.
It's behind the scenes.
I know it's behind the Man on the Moon, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's actual scenes where you've got... They're recreating Taxi. And Taxi, they use the original Taxi cast. And Jim Carrey's playing Andy Kaufman exactly how he would.
Yeah.
Everyone's freaking out because it's almost as if they're doing a film or something happening in real life.
Yeah.
And Danny DeVito saying, looking at camera saying, this is exactly how he was. But Danny DeVito's playing his agent.
But this is the bit I don't believe. I don't believe a word of that. Because that is the only shot in the entire film where anyone else is allowed to say what they thought about the process. The only person allowed to talk about it is Jim Carrey.
Well, I think that was a fault. I think that was a fault of the. We spoke, Simon.
Well, no, because
me and myself, Simon Field, spoke about that. Yeah. We thought that was what was missing.
I think it was total bullshit. Like, the film's really interesting, but not for the reasons it thinks it is. Like, I totally think that is not who Andy Kaufman was at all. Jim Carrey, basically, on the set, is a total dick to everyone constantly, as if Andy Kaufman was the guy in when he's performing. Off stage as well, and from talking to his mates, he doesn't seem to be. Actually, he was a decent, nice, polite bloke. And Jim Carrey's energy is so cocainey compared to how sort of unthreatening Andy Kaufman was. Like, that was almost part of the joke of him doing all the wrestling, is he doesn't seem like a threatening guy. If Jim Carrey came at me in an alleyway, I'd be fucking terrified. I thought it was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating, but I thought it was one man making a documentary about how great he was.
Mm. I saw Whitney Houston, Can It Be Me?
I was thinking, and how was that?
So, I know it's a different filmmaker, but compared to the documentary such as Amy and Senna, it's Nick Bloomfield who made the Whitney Houston one. It's really quite boring.
Is it?
It's not really that. It's interesting because Whitney Houston's interesting, but it doesn't manipulate me in the way that I want modern documentaries to.
Yeah, so they lose the whole sense of being a documentary.
Yeah, I want a documentary to make me weep, and it really didn't. It didn't do that.
Icarus is a good one to watch.
Is it?
I'll tell you one that is a very Danielle film. I thought casting JonBenet.
Oh, really?
You know about JonBenet, the beauty queen?
Yeah.
It stayed with me, this film. It's a great... I recommend it to
Netflix.
Tim Plester. I think it was on Netflix. He basically casts all the... this is maybe heard this before, but it's worth saying again. There's the sirens back.
They're right there.
So John Benet was a sort of 6-year-old beauty queen who was found, was murdered.
Found in her parents' basement.
Found it behind the wine cellar in a secret room, and there was a ransom note that they wrote. And there's a debate whether the mother killed her, the father killed her, her brother killed her, or
raccoons killed her.
Raccoons, or there was some sort of weird sex cult thing.
Oh God, yeah.
Because there was other stuff. Anyway, this director's gone and cast all the characters from the local area, so using local sort of professional actors, and they're redoing the scenes over again, and you cut between different actors. Then they get into the actors as to what they thought. It's just a fascinating cross between. I haven't seen anything. What a brilliant concept, brilliant idea. Because these actors they're quite good actors.
Yeah.
But they just, you realise how much your eyes train for Hollywood when someone's face isn't quite symmetrical. They look quite weird. But they're quite good actors. And then they've got these great stories about how they face death in their life, and they become interesting. It's just really.
Yeah, I've still not watched it, but it sounds like a brilliant. Just the concept is just excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really clever way of doing it. Yeah,
so that's one I'd recommend you.
I saw Nobody Speak: Trials of the Free Press. Have you heard about this? It's about the Hulk Hogan case that sank Gawker.
Right.
And it's a fascinating look at America right now. What's interesting about the Hulk Hogan case? He basically, Gawker released a sex tape of him banging his friend's wife. And then he sued for emotional damages and other stuff.
He in Hulk Hogan costume.
Well, this is what's interesting, is that part of their defence was, because you can't be suing for emotional damages because you were bragging about the sex video on Howard Stern's radio show. And Hulk Hogan says, no, I was in character when I did that. And so it's actually the first time someone's gone, well, that wasn't those weren't my actions because I was in character. And he won the case as well.
Don't say that. Andrew Lawrence will try next.
Comedians do that a lot, though. They say it's in character.
Yeah.
That's why I've distinguished between myself and Simon Field.
Simon Field is your burglary character, isn't it? You do all of your burglary as Simon Field.
I do all the bad stuff as me, and Simon Field is all the normal.
Oh, okay. So you can go back to Simon Field and live your life.
Yeah.
Sounds nice.
Have you seen Three Billboards yet?
Yes.
Is it good?
Yes, it is. So Martin McDonagh, who did In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths,
The Guard.
The Guard's great as well.
The Guard's my favourite of his films.
I listened to a great interview, which is on a podcast called Colonels at the Independent, do with him, and he sort of admits openly that Seven Psychopaths wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And it's just, I was surprised because I thought this is going to be a slow sort of. Slows pacing, but it's just non-stop drama.
Is it good? Everybody says it's good. Amazing, but
I don't think because obviously the Oscars are out.
Yeah,
I don't think it's not amazing as in sort of Birdman and Whiplash, which I thought were
really interesting. Yeah, fun films.
I loved Whiplash. I know lots of people hated it, and I thought it was brilliant.
I do not understand how you would hate Whiplash. Like Michael Legg hates it with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And I watched it again with my brother, and I thought, it's so good. And
it's Rocky. It's Rocky with drums. Rocky with drums.
Whereas La La Land is terrible.
La La Land I found quite boring. I watched it recently. I still really like Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone together. I'd watch them.
Oh, it was again. His brother who made The Guard.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's his brother who made The Guard and Calvary. He didn't make.
That's right.
But La La Land, the music was so forgettable, and that's a crime for a musical, isn't it? It should have just been a non-musical, I thought.
I watched La La Land again, I found it quite boring at the same time.
Star Wars, finally. I saw Star Wars, obviously. You talked about it with Simon Fielder, was it? With yourself?
Yes.
And what did the two halves of you make of it?
No, what? Not with Simon Fielder, with Tom Tuck.
Oh, with Tom Tuck. So what did you both make of it?
We were both very disappointed that it was just...
space stuff.
That's space stuff.
Very little stuff set in Chicago. I was very disappointed by
it
that.
It was the whole small ship, I think a big ship thing.
Small ship, big ship.
You know,
that kid's show.
You've got a massive big ship, and then you think, I talk about this on the podcast, and then there's no defences for quite a small ship to attack you.
Just suicide attacking
you. Yeah, so we can destroy universes, but if someone comes along in a normal ship, they can just drive through and shoot all our guns and destroy us.
So it's like in the Navy. Got the really big ships, and everybody knows that
a speedboat
yeah
can take any of them down.
Speedboat with an air rifle.
That's right.
Done.
Pew pew.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to get on a rowing boat. Oh, no, I'm going to get a Lilo with a motor on the back. Take down.
Barrett Lowood's one-man attack on the Royal Navy.
That's why they're so scared of Smiley Pirates.
Smiley Pirates.
That sounds like Smiley Cyrus, doesn't it?
Where are we going with this? Basically, Star Wars, I thought, you know, it looked beautiful, but the story was shit. People have been picking it apart for loads and loads and loads of different reasons. Different things annoyed different people, but I just thought the story was rubbish. They spent so long on Luke's island doing nothing. Nothing.
The best story I heard was when, I think it was Francesca Scalici, I can't pronounce the name properly, wrote in to say that the porgs were just... Did you hear that? They were...
To place over the top of puffins.
Yeah.
Puffins. Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. That's nice.
I like that. That's creative.
Yeah.
It's better than killing all the puffins. Yeah. Just gassing the puffins.
That would be a good
documentary. That's what they'd done in the 70s.
That's right.
Well, are we caught up on films?
I think so. Well, that's us all caught up. Well, for the very last time, I think it's time for this. Some people are writing
letters, we like reading them out. Right, well, here's a letter from one of our podcast supporters. I've got two letters to read out.
Great.
Brilliant.
I wish to say thank you to all the nice messages that people have written on our Facebook site. We've read them all. It's very kind of you.
Yeah.
And thank you. And even Martin Appleyard's written a nice message on there.
Yeah.
Our second fan. But
and thanks for including me, because I haven't been involved in this for a long time.
Long, long time.
I mean, I did invent it.
You're like Harry Enfield in Men Behaving Badly.
Yeah. Does he come back?
No. Never comes back.
Well, he might do in the future, but they'll probably remake it in about 10 years' time.
It's Men Behaving Badly's turn to be remade now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Francis Jolly. He writes, bye-bye. Hi, Marek and Simon, probably. No. That was last week's episode.
Do Simon's voice, just for us.
No, I can't do it now.
Okay.
I'm not in character. I need to have a lot of painkillers.
Okay.
I'm sad to be writing my last ever email to the podcast. Film Fandango has been with me almost since I started in Tosh's Download podcast back in 2011. Every Friday, I'm excited to download the podcast and welcome familiar voices into my ears on the commute to work. You introduced me to films such as Dear Zachary and King of Kong and Wolfsburg, yes.
Yeah.
And read out the majority of emails I've sent in, including dedicating an entire show to my best film per decade letter. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of the joy that Film Fandango and guests has given me, and they've helped me through escapes from rather black holes. I wish you all the best with your inferior podcast. What? keep watching the films. P.S. So sad to never get a chance to win that celebrated Oscar certificate, Fran Jolly. Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Everything comes to an end, doesn't it?
Yeah. And here's one I forgot to read out from Chris Webb.
Chris Webb. It wouldn't be the final episode without an email from Chris Webb. This is entitled A Nice Time at the Movies. Dear American special friend, he's not wrong. I thought it was a good time to get back in touch, as there seemed to be another correspondent with a similar name to me getting on the show every week. Who's that?
I don't know who that was. This is the letter that Chris emails Webb sent him in December, but I forgot to read out, so he forwarded it to me again to make sure I did read it out.
We often hear about people's bad experiences at the cinema due to obnoxious customers, rude staff, etc. So I want to know about any lovely experiences the Fandanglers have had at the movies, preferably while still wearing pants and trousers. For example, I was on holiday with the family recently. On a rare rainy day, I took Mrs. Chris and the kids, 7 and 3, to the nearest cinema, the Mercury...
I think the Borg.
7 off 3. To the nearest cinema, the Mercury, in Whittyanga. It's pronounced Fittyanga. Okay, Fittyanga. We chose Paddington 2. 10, Chris's. It was $10 ticket day, and that's about £5. So we're expecting a pretty cheap trip anyway. However, the assistant looked at my 3-year-old daughter and said, this is a good opportunity for Marek to do his Kiwi accent. Do you want to do that line?
Oh, she's only little. She can go for free.
Then the guy behind us in the queue, who was coincidentally rather rotund with a big white beard, bought my daughters some popcorn. I checked it first. Throughout the film, my kids were completely quiet, except for the time my 7-year-old shushed someone behind us who was talking. It worked. Everyone stayed quiet, except for the funny bits of the film where they were allowed to laugh. It was my youngest daughter's first ever trip to the cinema, so we wanted it to be memorable. I can't think of a more special trip to the movies, except for my first ever date with my wife when we were told off for laughing at Hannibal. Great first date movie, Hannibal. So come on, you lot, never mind bad cinema experiences. Tell us about the good ones. I hope you all have a brilliant Christmas. Wow, thinking ahead. And keep watching the films in 2018. Lots of love, Chris Webb. Good cinema experiences. I can only think of one which I have told on the podcast before, but I'll tell it again. When I was very young, it was Christmas and my cousins were over to stay and, you know, big family thing. And my parents said we were going to go to a house party of a friend of theirs. I was like, oh, God, that sounds like the most tedious thing children can ever be. But, you know, did what I was told and we were all packed into the two cars and driving. I said, where on earth are we going? And then we pulled in unexpectedly into the car park of the massive Warner Brothers, you know, big Warner Brothers logo with spotlights. We're like, what's going on? And as a surprise, they were taking us to see the brand new film that had just come out, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, great.
And it was the best Christmas surprise ever because it was such a good film as well.
I have no lovely cinema experiences. They've always been awful or, you know, what I've paid my money for. though, when I was 4 years old, my mum and my auntie Jane, who isn't a real auntie, took me to see the film Baby, The Last Dinosaur, which no one's ever heard of.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, but a couple find a dinosaur in New York and put it in their apartment. That's the first thing I went to see at the cinema. The film that was on before, it was Frankenweenie, the original one, which really scared me, and I think that's why I really like weird stuff now. And I saw Baby, and after we'd been to see Baby, you were still... this was at a time... So this was the early 80s when you could still smoke everywhere, and my auntie Jane and my mum have been smoking and then putting their fags out in my Coke cup. Oh. And then I went and drank my Coke, and it was disgusting. I was 4 years old, and that's why I've never smoked.
That's not a good memory.
But that's why I've never smoked. What's good about
that? Why are you telling that story? We're on such a high.
What's wrong with you?
Oh.
That's why I've never smoked.
Is that why you taste of ash all the time?
That's why I hate people putting out, like at parties, people putting cigarettes in cups.
Right.
In case you eat them, like I did.
I've done that before.
I've seen a man eat, drink an ashtray because he was so pissed.
Whoa.
I've seen a man.
Yeah, what was he like?
I can't remember. My best experience, well, I think I talked about it before, when I went with my friend John Bradley during some holidays to see Terminator 2, completely empty cinema, Lake Cinema, sat right in the middle. Great, great film.
Really good.
Yeah, just a nice experience. The thing is, the problem is, nice stories aren't satisfying to hear.
They're not as satisfying as horror stories.
As the drinking a cup full of coke and ash.
Yeah.
As a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Imagine if I just said it was a great time we were in the cinema, and the very last second, some spunk hit me on the forehead and I realised there's a bloke wanking in the last row.
Oh, no.
That would be awful.
It was the star of the film,
wanking. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he was wanking
get
off.
Lord of my
he
jumper.
Was wanking off Terminator 3.
Terminator 3? Who's Terminator 3?
The metal guy, the liquid guy.
That's Terminator 2. That's the liquid okay, metal, T-1000.
And it wasn't, he was actually a bit of the T-1000 on my head.
Isn't
not.
Terminator 3 a lady?
Yes, the Terminatrix.
And there's Terminator Genesis, that's
Genesis. Genesis.
You've forgotten Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, you have.
I think I stopped watching it after 10 minutes.
Terminator has never recovered. You may as well just ignore them entirely after number two.
Like, three's all right.
Three looks like an episode of Columbo. Like, whoever was the DOP on that looks like they're making
That's quite good, though, isn't it?
A TV movie. Yeah, not for a sci-fi dystopian epic.
Yeah,
like he's just got coverage of everyone. That's all he's been doing. It's terrible. Yeah. Well, there's our cinema experiences, aren't they? Thank you for all your letters over the years.
Thank you. I'm going to be taking the baby to the cinema.
What are you going to make her first film?
Well, I wanted to go see Three Billboards, but we were busy last week. So there's a thing in London. You can take your baby to the cinema.
Right.
Of a morning. Well, not you could, any cinema.
Yeah.
You have to specific ones.
It's quite common now, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've only just started doing dog screenings, but you can do baby screenings.
But there isn't a baby and dog screening.
Have to go separately then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you for your letters. Thank you for your letters.
Yeah, well done. As far as for anyone we didn't read them out, it's purely...
Incompetence.
Admin incompetence and general incompetence. I mean, if I was doing it as Simon Fielder, I would have done, but unfortunately...
He's a shrewd man.
Yeah, I've done it as Marek Lahren and been very incompetent.
Oh, dear. If we could cast our minds back, because when did we start this guff? Was it 2011?
October 2011, someone put on the Wikipedia, which is the source of all facts.
Wow. So it's now true.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but what? Okay, first things first. What have been the worst films you've
had to... Dark Shadows.
Yes, correct. That's 1 point to Danielle.
Dark fucking Shadows.
Dark Shadows is such a poor film. Have you seen it, Merrick?
No, what happens in that?
It's Johnny Depp being a vampire in a comedy directed by Tim Burton.
Probably.
And it's so Burton regurgitating Burton. And it's doing vampire jokes that were old when the Munsters did them. Yeah. Like, it's just doing, you know, like watching television and going, what is this strange thing? And going round the back to see where all the little people are. It's like, that's such an old joke.
Johnny Depp's on the turn now, isn't he? He turned to some weird sort of...
Well, he's been on the turn for ages.
Has he?
Yeah, I mean, if he was a bottle of milk, he'd have been right. Smelling bad for at least... 10 years.
Now he's cheese.
What
right?
film?
Now he's cheese. Yeah.
What
now
film did the Depp milk turn?
Somewhere through Pirates of the Caribbean, wasn't it?
Because you haven't seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
No,
the first Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, is a genuinely good sort of Disney kids film. Like, I think it's great. But it's definitely that franchise that sort of poisoned his soul, wasn't it? Like, he definitely went shit during that process.
Well, he obviously thought he could do an English accent, and he was a bit like Keith Richards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean, he's an actor. He's quite good in it. But have you heard... I don't know if this story's true, but have you heard the original intended ending for Birdman?
No, what, Johnny Depp comes in it?
Yeah, so originally... spoilers. Well, not spoilers. I'll try not to spoiler it. What happens at the end of Birdman happens.
Yeah, I've
right?
not seen Birdman.
Okay, fine. Then... because it's been one continuous shot following Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Anyway, then it cuts for the first time, and Michael Keaton's character is on a chat show talking about the experiences of what he went through during the film.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera then leaves him on stage and goes backstage into the dressing rooms of this TV studio now, rather than the theatre that the whole of Birdman's set in. And it joins the other guest on the programme in his dressing room, Johnny Depp, who has a poster of Pirates of the Caribbean 4 behind him, and he's looking into a mirror, and the voiceover goes, you're a piece of shit, Mahati, and cuts to black. The idea being that Johnny Depp is trapped in one role, just like this fictional guy is trapped in the Birdman. But rather than shoot it, Johnny Depp accepted the role in Pirates of the Caribbean 4. So rather than go with the art film that would have bought him a lot of cred for, yeah. You know, he just went, no, I'm going to continue making these increasingly bad
Disney
films.
£20 million wine bill, isn't he? Yeah.
But he hates himself, right?
I hate him too.
Yeah, Daniel hates him, and Johnny hates him. They're the big two.
Oh, Simon Fuller likes him.
Oh, well, that's good. He's very different to you, isn't
he? Welcome to the Punch was my worst film.
Yeah.
Odious. The worst of... British gangster, that horrible macho bullshit. Even the title, Welcome to the Punch, what arsehole wrote that?
What does that mean?
Just a dickhead.
Is that
thing,
what you say when you hit someone? Welcome to the Punch,
yeah,
mate.
Welcome to the Punch, right? Everyone walks around with their shoulders going up and down, with their legs spread. Let's bring your legs as far as you can, you're calling everyone a fucking prick, mate. Awful.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else I've seen which
The Circle, which is one of the worst films ever made, Netflix special.
Oh, yeah.
Really odd sort of Google, YouTube sort of trying to be a critique of that with Emma Watson. But
ooh,
it's really struggles. The Sweeney was bad.
Sweeney sounds bad.
Yeah. Trying to look at all my oneers. Should we talk about our favourite films then we've watched during this business?
Oh, yeah. What have we finished on shit films?
Oh,
then?
You can't. I've got a whole list
remember.
Of all
the Love Witch you didn't like, did you?
I thought the Love Witch was absolute shit. But it looked amazing. I thought it was a really, really boring, bad film.
Yeah.
If you've seen any 60s psych films, they're way weirder and more fun than that.
Yeah, I thought the Love Witch was a bit of a fanfic. Just, they should work in adverts, whoever made that. favourite films? Tricky.
I'd say a film that's properly stayed with me that I am always really keen to watch again is Under the Skin. I think Under the Skin has at least three genuinely groundbreaking shots that I've never seen in a cinema before.
The beach scene.
The beach scene.
Yeah.
The scene where the guy gets in the van with her. Mm-hmm.
The scene where the guy gets refined, you know, processed is incredible.
The bit where there's the two guys, when they're both in the black and they sort of recognise it, when they're not, they see that there's another person there. And so it gives them a sense of what is happening to them rather than some abstract thing. That scene is incredible. I think Jonathan Glazer makes incredible films.
Yeah, I agree. Dear Zachary is one we've talked about a lot. We've tailed off talking about in recent episodes, but I've just, as a find, you know, that's what's been so satisfying about doing this, is when people recommend things that you've never ever heard of, and Dear Zachary epitomises that for me. And when Lizzie Roper brought in World's Greatest Dad as well, I think World's Greatest Dad is absolutely fantastic. That nobody will watch because the advertising for it's terrible.
Oh my god, World's Greatest Dad is brilliant. And also we've mentioned it already, but Bone Tomahawk, we would never have watched if it hadn't been for a recommendation.
What did I really like? So, well, Blue is Almost Colour, everyone knows I bang on about that. Minus the lesbian scene, which is the worst thing in it. The Act of Killing, Art of Killing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The documentary about the
it's incredible. Just
I wasn't really expecting what it was, and it's just jaw droppingly good. The Act of Killing. Yeah. What else have I really enjoyed? My best films have been things like Birdman, Whiplash. I thought were amazing. Drive. I love Drive.
I love Drive.
Yeah. When it first, one of the few times when you come out of the cinema, when you think, I just want to be Ryan Gosling, when you're blown away. I mean, the first time I ever saw it, I mean, when I first saw Seven in the cinema, I thought, fuck, that was incredible.
You want to be Morgan Freeman?
I want to be Kevin Spacey.
And that's why you...
Not anymore.
That's why you cut your fingerprints off, isn't it?
Yeah.
And abducted that woman.
Yeah, well, first of all...
They aren't Kevin Spacey's worst crimes.
What, cutting his finger? No, I'm talking about the character, John Doe.
I thought it was about actual Kevin Spacey.
What I find incredible is that in LA Confidential, he plays the police officer who sets up the guy for dodgy sex acts.
He
plays his alter, you know, what's the word?
He's the showbiz cop, isn't he? The showbiz vice cop in that. LA Confidential is a bloody good film. We've never talked about that, have we?
It's one of the films I always watch when it comes on. It is great.
I'm like that with American Werewolf in London.
I mean, that is... I think that is... I thought we were going to do a top five films. That's in my top five films, American Werewolf in London. And also Shawshank Redemption, which is something you feel quite cringy and embarrassing about, but it's still brilliant.
Yeah, what are our...
It's not cool to like that.
What are our IMDb scores? Our final IMDb scores?
Well, I think you're in big trouble because Coco's come out, which was number 37. And screwed everyone's final IMDb scores.
But when things first come out, they tend to go high, like La La Land did, and then they dip down.
Yeah, that's never going to be there for long.
Where has the list gone?
Well, before we do that, we should plug... all our podcasts, so people who listen to this last episode think, I'm really going to miss hearing those voices. Don't worry, you can hear them again. You're still doing Do the Right Thing, aren't you, Danielle?
Yes, Do the Right Thing. We're recording a new series that starts in February at the Phoenix. That will be out, I don't know, sometime in 2014 or something? No,
2014?
In the past.
2024. Oh, my God. Where's the time gone?
It's nearly the end of the...
How am I this old?
Soon it'll be the 20s again.
I know. Well, the
Prohibition.
20s.
Yeah. Cars. We'll get cars again.
We're doing a new series of Do the Right Thing that we're recording that will be out later on in the year. And I've got another podcast called Any Stupid Questions, which we only did, we did five episodes before I had a baby. We'll be doing some more of those, and they're really good. It's like you get to ask, so I get to ask stupid questions to experts about.
So how do I unstick my dick from this freezer?
Yeah, that sort of thing. I mean, I don't think we could do
find an expert on that.
Yeah. But we've done Brexit and defence and things like that.
Oh, so things like that. Yeah. All right, not just household things.
Not dick glue accidents.
Oh, okay.
Would you get a dick expert or a glue expert in to discuss that one?
Why would you glue his dick to the fridge?
Well, I'm just saying, because I've done for the whole podcast with my dick stuck to the freezer, and I think it's starting to hurt a little bit.
Not just your dick, Simon Fielder's dick.
Not just, two dicks. Two dicks in one, wrapped like a twist ice cream.
Oh, with a stick up the middle.
Yeah, that's the problem, yeah.
Oh, God. That's the logo of the medical profession, isn't it?
What, minus
two dicks twisting around a lolly stick. I'm pretty
sure. Those are my podcasts anyway. Any stupid questions and do the right thing.
Well, you can also listen to my podcast, Inside the Comedian, which is me talking to comedians about the career they never had. They just have to make the whole thing up. They're not allowed to tell the truth.
That sounds easy.
Yeah, it's really easy. It's been enormous fun. I've yet to release the second series. It should be out any day now. Who knows? But Marek's in the next series, so look out for that one. Aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in it. I refuse to record it in front of an audience.
Yeah, Marek was a real diva about it. He made me hire a studio and everything, so that was good. No, it was fun.
I just don't like audiences.
You're quite right.
I'm doing a podcast called Marek Makes a Movie, where I interview filmmakers about their experience of making a film, and I eventually get around to making a film using all the donations. So basically, I don't have to lose any of my own money making something which will no doubt be awful. But you can listen to that, and the first one, there should be a couple out by now, is on iTunes or Acast, or I'll put all links to all these on the Facebook site and tweet these as well. Okay,
fantastic.
All right,
well, that's almost everything. So thank you all for doing this again. I should say, as almost a button on this whole thing, that the one absent character from our ensemble, which includes Danielle, Marek, Buddy, and our daughter, is the dick dog next door.
Marek's daughter.
Yeah, that's right, Marek's secret daughter.
Yeah.
No, the dick dog next door, we have not heard a peep out of in months now.
Wow!
So we back from think the with this one.
We think the dick
it's
dog
has been reincarnated as your daughter.
Right, that's exactly the conclusion I was about to come to. Yeah, no, that is not.
You think it's dead?
I think the dick dog next door knew Film Fandango was coming to a close and decided to take its own life.
Well, if you're thinking of doing that, please don't, because it's already been done.
That is, yeah.
And
that has been the message of Film Fandango since the very beginning. Don't take your own life when you're listening to this.
So the whole thing was a dick dog all along?
It was a dick dog all along.
Wow, what a complicated plot. Well, it's been really good fun. It's fun doing this. I think I've done it for about 5 years.
Yeah. I've done it for six.
Excuse to watch films and justify them as some sort of work. I mean, how am I going to justify it to myself now?
I mean,
how are you going to justify it to HMRC?
Well, it'd be research.
This is the only way that I've got to meet, you know, Johnny Depp and turn down an interview with John Cusack. So that's that's all good.
Hey, I did get to meet Sam Rockwell.
That's true.
And I got to meet Rob Deering.
Wow, Rob Deering.
He bought in one of the greatest films.
What's it called?
Midnight Run.
Midnight
Run. The more I watch. I was saying this last week.
It's great, isn't it?
It's close to my top 10 of all time.
Really?
It's so good. The more I watch it, I think it's better and better.
Well, we will leave you on that. Watch Midnight Run. Well, for the last time, but we really do mean it.
Stop.
No.
No,
that's not the message. Not stop watching films.
The message is
keep watching the films.